Call this meeting of the Houghton Community Council to order. Can we have roll call, please?
Brian Gothard.
Here.
Bill Goggins. Kelly Curtis.
Here.
John Kepler. Betsy Pringle.
Here.
Neil Black.
Here.
Rick Whitney.
Here. So, for what it's worth, John Kepler notified me this afternoon that he is ill, so John won't be with us today. Bill, I think, may be showing up. I can't remember. I know he had talked about possibly being out of town, but I think that he was going to miss the Planning Commission joint meeting, but we'll see. Yes?
He actually is going to be out of town.
He did send you a notice? Okay, I didn't see it in the email, and I can't remember mentioning it, but okay. All right, so this is who we've got for tonight. We have on our agenda, have a ceremonial oath of office, reading of minutes, council member reports, work program review, requests from the audience, and then we will have special presentations on communication strategies and an unfinished business. We have Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center comp plan and the miscellaneous city-initiated comp plan amendments, and then a work program review. I have to add to the agenda, and I think I'm going to put it in right after the ceremonial oath of office, election of officers. We always elect on an annual basis officers at the first regular meeting of the Houghton Community Council. So I'm going to slide that in right after the oath of office. So with that, could we have Kathy Anderson administer the oath? Sure. Oh, so this can't be done on a group basis. Okay. It's a one.
We'll do it individually for photo opportunity.
No,
I have to wait. I'll whatever. You've made the effort to be here, Kathy. I appreciate it. So I'm going to let you do it.
I already did mine, though.
So do you want to do a ceremonial?
Oh, okay.
You don't have to.
No, that's fine.
Oh, I kneel dressed up.
Got it.
Okay. So did I.
Good side.
Look like you're happy to do it.
I think. I'm solid.
You, Brian Gothard, having been duly elected to the office of Houghton Community Council, position number 7, solemnly swear that you will faithfully and impartially discharge the duties of this office as prescribed by law and to the best of your ability, and that you will support and maintain the Constitution of the State of Washington and of the United States of America.
Yes.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I love the pomp and circumstance.
We want the...
Oh.
Okay. Kelly. Okay. Do you, Kelly Curtis, having been duly elected to the office of Houghton Community Council, position number 4, solemnly swear that you will faithfully and impartially discharge the duties of this office as prescribed by law and to the best of your ability, and that you will support and maintain the Constitution of the State of Washington and the United States of America?
I do.
Congratulations.
Can we get this side as my better side?
Yes.
That's excellent. Did she say the United States of America for me?
Oh, that side does look really good. Well,
I noticed that at the picture from Elsie's party. I said I should never get my picture taken from that side.
Wait, should I be texting Russia?
Let's see. Number 2. Okay. Do you, Betsy Pringle, having been duly elected to the office of Houghton Community Council, position number 2, solemnly swear that you will faithfully and impartially discharge the duties of this office as prescribed by law and to the best of your ability, and that you will support and maintain the Constitution of the State of Washington and the United States of America?
Yes, I do.
Congratulations. Okay, Neil.
All right. Sure,
let's get you on that side.
I'm on this side?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you get...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, we didn't get that.
All right.
Work with me, baby. Work with me.
Do you, Neil Black, having been duly elected to the office of Houghton Community Council, position number 6, solemnly swear that you will faithfully and impartially discharge the duties of this office as prescribed by law and to the best of your ability, and that you will support and maintain the Constitution of the State of Washington and the United States of America.
Yes, I do.
If this is photo op, I'm coming down here.
Yeah, you would.
Right there.
Okay. All right.
All right. He's facing the camera.
So,
yes.
Do you, Rick Whitney, having been duly elected to the office of Houghton Community Council, position number 3, solemnly swear that you will faithfully and impartially discharge the duties of this office as prescribed by law and to the best of your ability, and that you will support and maintain the Constitution of the State of Washington and the United States of America?
I do.
Great. Thank you. Congratulations. Another 4 years for all of you.
Thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome.
It's almost dead.
Oh, it's good. Oh, good.
Okay. So, election of officers, I'll make the same statement I make every year, that I am willing and happy to serve, but if somebody really has a desire to serve as chair, I welcome that. I don't want to keep anybody out. So, with that, we'll open nominations for chair of the Houghton Community Council. Betsy.
I would like to nominate Rick Whitney to be chair of the Houghton Community Council.
Okay. I'll second that.
Okay. Are there any other nominations? Nominations are closed. I guess all in favor of Rick Whitney as chair of the Houghton Community Council for another year, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Thank you, guys.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I guess. And I really mean it, you guys. I really, truly do. And I'd kind of like maybe in the next year to see somebody else be.
But you're really
that way.
Good at it, and you know Robert's rules of order.
I try. Now, for vice chair, I know for a fact that John would like to serve as vice chair, but again, that doesn't preclude someone else from having that role. So with that, I open up nominations for vice chair of the Houghton Community Council.
I'd like to nominate John Kapler for vice chair of the Houghton Community Council.
Okay. John has been nominated. Any other nominations?
I second John's nomination.
Okay. Any other nominations for vice chair of the Houghton Community Council? Going once, twice. Okay, nominations closed. All in favor of electing John as the vice chair of the Houghton Community Council, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Okay, great. So with that, we will move on with our meeting. We have readings. Actually, we aren't reading. We are going to review for approval the minutes of the October 23rd and November 27th minutes meetings. Any additions, corrections to the October 23rd, 2017 minute meeting? That was a 12-minute meeting. It really didn't accomplish much, but we didn't have a lot of business to attend to. Any additions or corrections? Okay, can I hear a motion to approve those minutes?
I motion to approve October 23rd, 2017 minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, those
Rick, I'm going to abstain since I was not
I understand.
That meeting.
Yep. And then the November 27th minutes. Any additions or corrections?
I move to approve the November 27, 2017 minutes.
Very good. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor of approving those minutes? Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right.
And
great.
I'll abstain again.
Okay.
So, from here on out.
Yeah. Okay. Council member reports and comments. First of all, I do want to welcome Neil as the newest member of Houghton Community Council for his first regular Houghton Community Council meeting, and replacing our beloved Elsie Weber, who we all got to celebrate last week. The City Council will be recognizing her at the first meeting in February. I'm going to be out of town, but if any of you are able to attend that, that'd be really cool. I wish that I could be here, but then I have a longstanding commitment to be in Phoenix that week.
When will
first
it be?
Tuesday?
I think it's the 6th. Let me check. It is February 6th. So that would be cool if you're able to attend that. I also want to let you guys know that I actually had proposed to staff that we add a reconsideration of the temporary sign ordinance to the agenda for this meeting. And I talked with staff about it, and when we went through, Adam and I talked about it, and he talked in turn with John Regala, and my concerns were unintended consequences of what had been recommended, and that they could be pretty significant. Areas such as no limits on proximity of the signs to the businesses that are being advertised, no limits on the number of signs per property, just per, you know, a sign per business, various other things, and also the desire to have some time to give consideration to the Mill Creek ideas that were presented, which I thought had merit. Mm-hmm. And once we approve what's currently being done, then there's going to be less incentive for, I think, it's going to be tougher to get people to welcome and adopt the Mill Creek recommendation, especially if they go out and spend money on signs. So at any rate, for all those reasons, I think Adam and John decided, you know, it'd be better to just delay the whole process and try to get it right. And they're going to come back to us in the February meeting, is it?
Yeah, February 26th. We'll come back with the additional information, and then we'll do a quick presentation. Presentation of the new material that Chair Whitney recommended, and then you can discuss.
I specifically asked that that they take at a minimum a couple locations in the city that have specific concerns, downtown being one of them, and then one or two others, and go through a worst case scenario. What could happen if the ordinance, the temporary sign ordinance that's been recommended, is put in place, what would be the worst case scenario? And, you know, I can see a pretty awful looking row of signs there. So at any rate, they're going to come back with that, and also consideration of the Mill Creek. Yes, Kelly.
Just to clarify, will planning look at it again, or just us?
It'll just be you, and then we'll send it along to City Council.
Okay.
Yeah.
Although I emphasized to Adam, I don't want the Planning Commission to feel like we're trying to lord over or one up them or anything. I wanted him to, you know, wanted him to be aware of it. But I do feel like it, in this case, it was just not well thought out, and I think it needs additional consideration. So that's where we're going to go. And the timing on this is, since it's more staff driven than anything, they said the City Council will be okay with delaying it. I didn't want to go sideways with them either. So I think
it's good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And just to be clear, it's totally fine if the council's recommendation is different from the Planning Commission's as well. So
yeah. So that's my report. Any other council member reports or comments? Yes, Kelly.
Housing Strategy Advisory Committee. We have a meeting on Wednesday. But I did want to let everybody know that all the materials from the December 2nd meeting that we all missed is now online. So go look at that.
Great. Okay. Betsy?
I don't know who all is involved in this, but I know the Central Houghton Neighborhood and Lisa McConnell are actively working toward an anniversary for the city of Houghton. Mm-hmm.
The
demise of the city of Houghton, the incorporation into Kirtland. So,
yeah.
Activities this summer culminating, I think, the first week of August. So anyway, I think she's going to be looking for volunteers and ideas to make it a really fun, participatory event for both Kirkland and Houghton people to sort of relive some of those moments and have some fun times together. So anyway, that's coming up.
Cool.
Yeah.
Neil, do you have anything?
I don't. Thanks for having me on the committee, or the council, rather.
Excellent. Okay, so work program review, anything, Adam? And we do have an audience. Would the audience care to address the city council or the Houghton Council?
Yes, the audience would. Well, good evening. I'm Larry Totally, president of the Central Houghton Neighborhood Association. Tonight, the Houghton Community Council will take final action on the Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center plan and zoning amendments that have been approved by the city council. It's been over a year since staff initially started the discussion to amend the plan and the zoning for the Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center. I want to thank the Community Council for its work on the amendments. By my count, this is the 12th meeting of the Houghton Community Council on this topic. In my opinion, and only my opinion, I'm not speaking for the rest of the neighbors, your thoughtful discussions and consideration of the input from the public and subsequent recommendations have resulted in a better plan than where we started. In your initial discussions of the amendments, you stated several objectives and goals by which you'd be reviewing the plan and the zoning changes. Changes to the Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center should be consistent with the existing neighborhood plan, unless needed to bring the plan and zoning into alignment. You noted that downzoning was not something you would accept. You also noted that upzoning of properties required a commensurate benefit to the community. In developing your recommendations, you publicly went on the record of what you would and would not veto and why. You were very transparent. You showed your cards. I really appreciate that transparency. It helps people to better understand the decisions and recommendations you made. They may not agree with them, but they know how it came about. I also want to thank all the people that participated in the planning process, not all those that are here tonight. Participation and involvement are how we share our concerns and hope add some potential solutions, not just for the neighborhood center, not for the neighborhood, but also the community, the region, state, and the nation. I hope people stay involved. I also want to thank staff for their efforts in the midst of this public discord that we had through many of these times. I know it's not easy, it's challenging, but we got to this point and I think everybody's still walking and talking. The final plan and zoning do not fully meet all my desires or the desires of many of the residents and many others that spoke. It also does not address the concerns that were presented during the process. However, the resulting plan and zoning is much better than where we started. Therefore, I support the Houghton Community Council approval of the amended neighborhood center plan and zoning. I, for one, plan to stay involved as the plan gets implemented, one project at a time. So thank you all.
Thank you so much for everything you did for the process, Larry. It was unbelievable what you and Lisa and several others, that you guys worked just, you really helped us shape this in a great way. So I can't thank you enough. Okay. Communication strategies, is there?
I didn't mention this in the beginning, but communication strategies is actually being taken off the agenda.
Yeah.
If there's a desire to talk communication strategies in the future, we can arrange it. Happy to do so.
I actually spoke with Kathy a week or two ago and said, you know, she wanted to know what we want. I said, Kathy, this is more driven by you guys than by us. I said, if you don't have anything specific you feel like we need to be addressing, then I don't even need you on the agenda. She thought that this was something that we were pushing for. I said, oh, no. So at any rate, I said, it's up to you. So I guess we'll dispense with the communication strategies. Cool. So now we move to Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center.
Okay.
So, you got your packets, and you know that there's a couple of resolutions that we're going to be discussing tonight. The first one, it has to do with the comprehensive plan ordinance that was passed by the council in December. And the second is the zoning map and zoning code ordinance that was passed by the council just last week on January 16th. So I'll go through what those included, kind of high level, and then if you have questions, we can get in more detail. But I think you're pretty familiar with it, honestly. So, okay, so first we'll talk about the ordinance for the comprehensive plan. And as you know, I mean, it's both Everest and Central Houghton. I'll try and divide those out, although they're quite similar, really. So for Central Houghton, you know, the big thing I think that everybody was concerned about was the height, the three stories. And your plan used to say five stories, and what was approved now says three. If certain retail uses that serve the neighborhood are provided, that it stepped back. I mean, we can talk more about that with the zoning, but you know that there were a number of requirements to actually get to the 35 feet or the three stories. Design review is now required. There is a higher density residential limit allowed on the east side, or sorry, on the west side of 106th Avenue. So basically, the Waddell property is now allowed to have a higher density than it was before. But the city property to the south of the Waddell property is going to remain as it was with the same density. So it's just that one piece, really, that is becoming more dense. There was a split land designation underneath the Northwest University property on the east side of 108th, where the office building is, and that split designation has been corrected. And then there were some changes to the transportation policy wording. And all these things we discussed and kind of hashed over together, and you can see them in your packet, what was done.
The only thing on that is I want to make sure that the comp plan is consistent with what is being done with the zoning. As far as the property to the west of 106th, where is it specifically excluding the city property for higher density?
It's on the maps. So I didn't make a slide of your, I can tell you what page it is in here. Page 11. Sorry, I should have put that on a slide. I can show you the zoning map.
Sure.
So if you look at this, and then we can look at the other two. This
yeah,
is
I know
the,
it's in the zoning. I just
okay,
want to
you're worried
I'm
about
looking
the
for consistency between the zoning and the comp plan.
Okay, so it's did you say page 4, Larry?
Page 11.
Page 11, sorry.
This is the page you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So look, if you can look at page 11 in your packet, and I apologize for not having it on the screen.
That's all right.
But you can see it says the area on the left or on the west side of 106th, that piece that says change to high density residential, that's the piece that changes. Below that, the city property is still in the medium density residential 12 units per acre area.
Okay, and that is in the comp plan. This
yeah.
map is
this
in
map
part of the comp plan.
This map is now
incorporated.
If you approve it, it's part of the comp plan now.
Good, okay. That's all I wanted. I just wanted to make sure that we.
Yeah, no, that's
yeah,
fine.
There's no inconsistency. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Right. So.
Oh, go, Neil. Oh.
Sorry, can I ask a quick question about that? Just because I did find I did find figure LU1 from the comp plan on page 11,
mm-hmm.
But I struggled to find where it's referenced in the city council's resolution 4629. So as a procedural matter, where is the reference to LU1, the comp plan map that? Where the city council formally adopted it. I guess it's more a question the city council should be asking, but I just want to make sure since Ricky raised it.
Yeah. No, thank you. I appreciate it.
I found, for example, there's reference to table
LU2,
but there's no reference to figure LU1, and I couldn't find a cross-reference to it anywhere in the materials, and I kind of wondered about its...
it really should be.
I think it's
inclusion.
I think it's on page 9 in that same paragraph. Councilmember Black, that you're looking at, it says the citywide land use map and the land use element.
Okay.
That's what it is. Yes, that's
that right?
Correct.
Okay.
So figure LU1 is the citywide land use map. Thanks, Adam. So that's the reference. It's also attached to the ordinance, so it will be changed. But
okay.
Good question.
Okay.
Thanks, Angela.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay, back to your presentation.
Yeah, no problem. That's the best way to do it.
Good.
Okay, so I wanted to talk a little bit about the Everest portion, even though it's not in your jurisdiction. I know you're interested, and this has been a concern. So Everest had similar wording, similar height, except for one thing, a big thing, the allowance of or requirements for a master plan. So the city council wanted in the comp plan reference to be made to a potential master plan that would allow for additional height if that southbound right turn lane were put in and some other things, additional residential and stuff. So that is in the Everest plan now, and I think you got a copy of that and you probably saw it, but I just wanted to bring that up. It's not part of the zoning for Everest. It's only in the comp plan, with the thought that if somebody comes forward with a specific plan for that area with a master plan, at that point the council will look at it. Again, only for the Everest portion. And it'll be there'll be another public hearing, there'll be a whole new process for that. But they did want to at least write in the plan for Everest that this was a possibility. So it's there. And I know you all know that, but I just wanted to bring it up one more time and explain how it worked. But it is not in the zoning that you'll be looking at.
Angela, should it be separated out as the two different zones, since the master plan there on the Everest side is different? Because I've had some people come up to me and with concerns that if city council changes the Everest side, since it's the same zone C, that it might apply to us.
Right. Since it's not in the zone at all, they may be concerned with the way it's shown in the comp plan, but it's only in the Everest neighborhood plan. It's not in the Central Houghton neighborhood plan at all, so it wouldn't be allowed. The zoning couldn't be allowed to be changed for the Central Houghton portion unless the Central Houghton neighborhood plan were also changed. That's why they wanted to write it in. I can see why it's confusing. This is a little unusual, the way it was handled.
It's confusing because we were supposed to be looking at everything comprehensively, and it says HENC1, which is one zone, but now there's one little chunk that can have a master plan. So it is a little unusual and confusing because it's like, well, if it says it's allowed in HENC.
Yeah, and it's... From what I recall, the whole purpose of this whole process a year or two ago was to match up the zoning with the master plan. Right. And so I feel like it's all come full circle.
Well, no, I would say, the zoning and the comp plan do match now. So in other words, the problem was that the Central Houghton plan said 5 stories, and the zoning for Central Houghton or for the area south of 68th only allowed 30 feet. Now it says 3 stories only if you do all these things, which would get you up to 35 feet. And that match, we'll talk a little more about what the zoning says, but it does match.
Okay.
There isn't that, there's no allowance anywhere in the Central Houghton plan to get up to 5 stories anymore. That's been removed. So that couldn't occur unless the plan were changed.
Right.
The reason that the city council wanted to write it into the Everest plan was so that it could occur north of 68th. You know, if they met, again, if somebody came in with a proposal, then the zoning would have to still be changed.
Could you refresh my memory? At the beginning of this whole process, I don't remember who started the process, but essentially they wanted all of the zoning in this whole area to be the same, so it would be uniform. And it seems like we went through this whole long process And then there was something stuck in so that it wouldn't be uniform, so that it could still be higher.
Right. You're right. I think that, well, two things happened. One is that the north side, the Everest portion, said that the maximum height could be 35 feet. And the south side, your portion, said 5 stories. That was what the comprehensive plan said.
Sure. I just want to make a clarification, because I do not agree with that characterization. What we said was that we could consider up to 5 stories, mm-hmm. subject to a comprehensive plan for both sides, for the entire neighborhood center. That was always part of it, because mm-hmm. the city council actually came back at one point after we had that in there and tried to say, well, we need to get consistency, and so they tried to get the zoning up, and we said, absolutely not. We will not upzone this until we go through that comprehensive process. So it was never, we really never said we'll accept 5 stories. We said we could consider up to 5 stories subject to going through a comprehensive process.
Which we have done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's how we got where we are.
Yeah. But I mean, so I guess the point was that didn't match the zoning, which said 30 feet maximum.
Yep.
And that was our problem. We had 3 different things going on. And the idea with this process was to fix that, to make them work together. Now, I mean, the council decided that the north side of the street should potentially be allowed to go higher. That's a decision they made. I think the idea was to look at the whole area together. It was never said that it absolutely would all be the same, and they made a decision to make something different.
Yeah, it just seems like all of the public outreach wasn't in vain, but it seems like it wasn't heard as well, I don't think.
Well, yeah, I can't speak for the council, and I'm right. sorry that you feel that way. I think they did hear it. I know they heard it. They made the decision that they thought was correct. That's all I can, you know.
Fair
and
enough.
They did talk about why they did that at their meeting, and Rick was there.
Yep.
You know, I think it's one of those where there's just a disagreement here. And that's why it's not on the south side of the street. But to answer your question and the concerns that people have, somebody can't come in with a master plan for the south, for your area. That won't work. The process isn't open to that. So you can reassure people that that's the case. So, anyway, but on the north side, there is this possibility. Through another extensive process, probably a lot like what we just went through. it's not going to be easy, but it is possible. Yeah. So that's where we stand. But the additional height isn't shown anywhere in the zoning. That's, I guess, the bottom line that I wanted to make clear. And this is back to the zoning maps again. I just tried to show it in 2 ways. And you're right that number 3 and number 1 zone go right, go into both areas. So up here is Everest, and here are you guys down here. And it's all Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center 1 zone. And over here, it's 3 zone.
Yep.
2, there's just no 2 in the Everest neighborhood, so they don't have that. So a little bit about the zoning. And this was the ordinance that was just passed last week. It was done separately. And it put in place the HANC 1, 2, and 3 zones. Because before that, the majority of that area was business commercial zoning. A little bit of residential there, too. And as we were just saying, it's now been updated so that the comp plan and the zoning match. And that's been that's really why we have gone through this long process, is to make that happen. The base height of the whole neighborhood center is 30 feet now, which is basically what it was before. The difference is, in the zoning, that now there's that additional 5 feet, which you all talked quite a bit about, in the HANC 1 zone, if certain conditions are met, the grocery store, the drug store, affordable housing. There's a number of things they're in your packet, and I think you worked hard on that list, so you know what it is. So that's a possibility now to go up that extra 5 feet. The density, if you're at the 30-foot level, though, is determined by height and bulk. But and the reason for that is because that's how it always was done, and you made a determination to recommend that because that's what it was under the BC zone. But if you want to get, they want to get that extra 5 feet, then the density limit is 48 units per acre. Now we've got design review, which I think is a good thing to have. 14-foot sidewalks around that number one zone. Affordable housing for the 35-foot limit. We couldn't do it legally for the 30-foot height limit because of we weren't giving anything in exchange, but we can require it for the 35-foot limit. And as I said before, that city property that I think everybody was concerned about maintaining at its existing zoning is it's kept its same zoning of RM3.6. So it's really not part of the Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center, at least not as far as the zoning or the way we describe it. And the city's in negotiations with King County Housing Authority for them to buy it and keep it as affordable housing, which was a recommendation that you all made. So they heard you.
Quick question for you, Angela. I noticed that under the 14-foot sidewalks are required around HENC-1, but it also shows it as a requirement for HENC-2. And I'm curious, as a practical matter, how is that possible under the railroad overpass?
It's there's a chart the of where the 14-foot, so it's on the side of the street of HENC-1. So it, I guess if 2's redeveloping and they're actually, I don't know how much that would ever happen, except along 68th. So let me show you the chart.
That's maybe I'm only
maybe
asking
because
it does say
that too much
under the.
You know.
Yeah.
Okay, let's look on page. That's the wrong packet. I have three packets I'm working with here. Sorry. Your packet.
Yes.
Page 83 of your packet tells where the 14-foot sidewalks are required. They're on both sides of 68th Street, so potentially in along 68th in that 2 zone, but mostly they're around on 108th on the side where the shopping center is and on 106th on the side where the shopping center is. So,
just as I said, on the north side of HENC-2 on 68th, is that required to have a 14-foot sidewalk?
Yes.
Okay. And how are they going to do that under the railroad trestle?
Oh, back to your question. If there's an area where it doesn't work, then Public Works can adjust it.
They can. Okay.
But we're starting with the requirement to get it in as many places as. Because if I remember correctly, you all felt that that's what it should be in all the business districts.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do, that's what happens with these things. We put it in,
yeah.
And then if for some reason it's not going to be able to be fit or whatever, they'll adjust.
Okay. Kelly?
Remind me why we don't have affordable housing spec for HENC-3?
For 3, there has to be a trade-off, something given in exchange for the affordable housing. They're not getting any additional height there. They're not getting any additional density. So there was no way to get it. In the 2 zone, they weren't getting additional height. So the Waddell property,
right.
No additional height, but they are getting additional density, so we could require it there.
Okay.
In the 1 zone, if it's 35 feet, we could require it. So it's a tough one. Mm-hmm. You know, there has to be something given in exchange.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
All right. Clerical error that I need to tell you all about, which actually it's good we caught it. So let me try to explain this in the simplest way possible. There's a requirement in the HENC 1 and 3 zones that 70, it's up on the screen, and I also left it for you at your seats, that 75% of the total gross floor area on the ground floor has to be one of these uses. It has to contain retail, restaurant, tavern, hotel, motel, or office. I when I transferred this from the information that was presented at the public hearing to what was given to council, I inadvertently left out hotel and motel. So I gave you something in the original, in your original packet, that said 75% of the ground floor of the buildings in those two zones has to be either retail, restaurant, tavern, or office. And I should have included hotel and motel in that list. Hotels and motels are allowed in the zones, but what this would do if it's not included is not allow them on the ground floor. That doesn't make a lot of sense. In the BC zone that's is existing there until tonight or whatever, they are allowed on the ground floor. In other areas of the city, when you have a hotel or a motel, they can have that use on the ground floor. We don't require them to have all retail or something on the bottom. So, I mean, this is basically just a typo that I made. The council, when they passed the ordinance that I included in your packet, they said, we pass this ordinance, but include those two words in this portion of it. And so I'm bringing that forward to you so that you know that it, with your resolution, you would be including them too.
I have a question on that, because mm-hmm. the neighborhood center, the language in the comp plan talks repeatedly about the businesses are primarily to serve the neighborhood. And so mm-hmm. I don't know how you would be able to gauge that the hotel or motel was primarily serving
it's
the
a
neighborhood.
Good point.
That would be a hard one. I mean, the businesses, offices would be easier to tell. So that could be a sticky wicket that you could get into.
I see what you're saying. You know, I don't have a real good answer. I suppose you could say that businesses in the area sometimes need a hotel or motel for people who are working in their offices, and people in the area sometimes need a hotel or motel for guests that they don't have room for or maybe don't want to have stay with them.
No, I'm just bringing that up because
I don't have a real good answer. Yeah. I hear you.
If it helps, I mean, I also use, for example, I use as a neighbor, I use the Woodmark Hotel for some meeting, the Woodmark Hotel lobby mm-hmm. for meetings. So neighbors and business people could also use the lobby as meeting space. So it could be.
Well, that'd be nice to have an argument space.
An argument could be made both with respect to that plus the Brian's in-laws.
Mm-hmm. And not my specific in-laws. For the record, I love you, Cheryl.
And then, and then the visitor, you know, people, from, business people from out of town. So it's possible, I suppose.
Yeah, I can see how it would be helpful for Google.
But I could also see why some of our constituents would say just what you said, which is it's a hard argument to make, a little bit harder argument to make.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
This is maybe stupid. What's the difference between a hotel or motel as far as the city of Kirkland's concerned?
Do we have our code here?
The planning department's concerned. I think I have a layman's understanding of what a motel is, and I have a hard time picturing one in the Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center.
I always, when I see that, I should have looked it up before I came, but I always kind of wonder that too. Do we have a copy of the zoning code here?
Is it a matter of the
doors being on the outside?
I'm wondering.
Well, like the demographic, not the demographic, the purpose it serves, like a motel is like a Super 8 that, you know, serves travelers, and a hotel is something.
Well, that's where they started, I think, was the motor. It was a motor hotel, right? It was.
Adam might be able to find it in our zoning code, but I don't have a good answer for you.
More important.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
Taverns and bars, are they? Do bars fall within the tavern category? Cocktail lounge? I wouldn't want to discriminate against them.
One serve food and the other one not, I think.
I don't know the answer, okay. But maybe we will. Maybe we'll have it in a few minutes.
Okay.
But Angela, this all. We're leveraging existing work language from the existing. Yeah. Zoning
I was
going
to say not to make excuses, but it is wording that we just brought forward from the old BC zoning, which has been around probably for longer than I have. You know, over 30 years.
Right. That doesn't so we're sort of living
right.
with some old
it
language.
It just makes it. That's the way it's been worded. Yeah. So. Well, but there may be a specific definition in the code, and Adam will get back and let you know what that is.
Yeah, I think the main reason to have an answer to this question, it's a little bit trivial, but in case one of our constituents asks us. Yeah.
Then you're ready.
Yeah, we have an answer for what the difference between a hotel and a motel is, and you have an answer for whether a tavern includes a bar.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
So we'll get back to you in a few minutes. Either it's in there or it's not. And then if there isn't a definition in the code, then sometimes we'll go to just like the dictionary or whatever. But we usually try to start with the zoning code first.
I think the motel, you park on the street. And the hotel, you have a parking garage. And
there you go.
Okay.
Anyway, the wording was left out, and so but has now been added back in. And I had told you all that I would, since I had to send out my packet before I knew what the council was going to do, that wasn't included in your packet, so that's why I'm telling you about it. And let's see what else I've got, and then Adam can come back and reply. Any news for us? Okay, thank you. And then, finally, this is just kind of reporting to you. Council passed a resolution to update the design guidelines for pedestrian-oriented business districts. And they took into account all your recommendations. You know, we spent quite a bit of time on that, too, and got a lot of good wording from the Neighborhood Association and all that. All that was included. We also went to the Design Review Board, brought it to council. The process for it is a little unusual. Council passes a resolution, but actually what they say is, okay, mayor and planning director, you can sign these and approve them. And so that's how it works. That's spelled out in the municipal code. So that's what happened. They passed a resolution. Now it's up to the planning director and the mayor to sign it and make it official. So,
do you have any reason to believe that they will modify it in any way?
No, I do not.
Okay.
I included what the changes were in your packet. Mm-hmm. Everybody agreed with that, and we worked pretty hard on that, I think.
Yeah.
And they know that. So no, they won't change it. And I've never seen them change it in the past either. That's just the process that's set up in the municipal code. So that's where we are. And now we have these two resolutions, but let's get this answer to this question first, and then we can look at those.
So I'm thinking just in the definition.
Yeah, so hotel and motel and the zoning code are just defined together. There's not any differentiation. So this language was just taken directly from the definitions chapter of the code, and just for your knowledge, they are defined together as a facility providing lodging and related services for a charge, typically for a period of 1 month or less. They shall include inns, residents, or extended stay hotels and other similar facilities. So,
taverns?
Taverns, I've not been able to find yet, but give me a couple minutes and I can report back.
All right.
Okay. So I guess we could look at the comp plan resolution first.
Mm-hmm.
If you agree with what the council passed on that.
I think there's nothing that we haven't already been through pretty extensively. So unless somebody has other ideas, I would welcome a motion to adopt Resolution 2018-2 approving the amendments to the comp plan for updates to the Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center as adopted by Ordinance 4629 by the City Council. I would welcome a motion to that effect.
So moved.
Okay. Is there a
seconded?
Second? It's been seconded, moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Neil.
One quick comment.
Yes.
So I just wanted to make, so first of all, I want to thank everyone who worked so hard on this vision for the Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center. I wasn't involved, obviously. I just joined the council, but you all have been working a very long time, and the Everest Neighborhood Association and neighbors who live in the Everest neighborhood and the Central Houghton Neighborhood Association and neighbors who live in Central Houghton have all worked very hard on this, and the staff has worked very hard on it. And I want to thank everyone for that work. I want to quickly say I have some of the similar concerns as what Brian hinted at. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on the one hand, I feel very strongly, I strongly believe in representative government, that the neighbors in Central Houghton, or in the Houghton municipality, have elected us to represent them. We review detailed materials, we debate and deliberate, and we hear from the public, and we hear from the staff, and we collect a lot of information that not every single one of our constituents in the neighborhood have the benefit of hearing. So much detail, the ability to ask questions, hear from both sides. And then I feel very strongly that we have that form of government where we have elected officials, and that's their job, to do that work, to hear both sides, to ask the questions, to go through all the materials, and to make a decision. And sometimes that decision is going to be different than what certain members of the public wanted. So I believe strongly in that. At the same time, I also feel very strongly about the public process. And I think the public process has two elements to it. One is actually hearing the public, and the second is the perception of hearing the public, and I think both are important. So I have no doubt that both the City Council, the Planning Commission, and this council have all heard the public, and they've heard both sides. I'm a little bit concerned about the perception that the public, mm-hmm. That there was a long process, the public spoke, and it felt like a consensus was reached, and then the City Council made a slightly different decision. And I feel that's somewhat unfortunate, and I hope that that doesn't, any of the constituents, at least in the Houghton municipality, I hope that they don't feel that that's a reason not to participate in the public process. So I just want to encourage. I want to encourage that. I want to say, I guess, that I feel confident that voices were heard, but I am somewhat concerned about the perception that the public, a consensus is reached, and ultimately City Council made a different decision. But other than that, I plan to support the motion.
I'm more than slightly concerned. That was the primary point of my message to the City Council that I expressed at. As a resolution, we said, let's go and tell the City Council how we feel about this, and that's what I said. You're usurping the public process and the confidence in the vote. Why should people participate when you go through all this and then City Council says, well, we know better than you?
There were so many people here. The fire marshal had to clear them out.
Yeah, yeah. At any rate, you're right on, Neil. Yeah. And we tried, but there's a limit to what we can do.
Can I say actually two things?
Yes.
I found something that might make you feel a little better about that issue of it being in all the zones. And also, just a comment on what you're talking about. For the Houghton portion, you did have an influence, and it is what the public asked for.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but what I was going to say is page 11, that's what's in the comprehensive plan. It's just this whole area, this whole one zone is just shown as commercial, just C. It doesn't talk about height or zone or anything. So in the comp plan, the only place that wording about the master plan is in the Everest neighborhood plan. It's not on the map. And then on the map where you actually get into the zones for zoning, that additional height is not shown. So... I don't know. I know this is confusing, but I was forgetting that on the comp plan, it doesn't show the HEC zones or HENC zones.
It doesn't.
No, because that's the way the comp plan works. It just shows a more general use. which is commercial. So that's just another reason why we couldn't do that. Anyway, if that helps, or maybe it confuses the issue a little more.
All right, so we have a motion that's on the floor. It's been seconded. Is there any further discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right, so the motion carries. And next we have Resolution 2018-3 to approve the amendments to the zoning map and zoning code for updates to the Houghton Everest Neighborhood Center.
I so move.
Okay, so it's been moved to adopt Resolution 2018-3. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Discussion, discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Angela, thank you.
You're welcome.
It's been quite a process.
Yeah.
You have been
a champion through this one.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you. So have you all.
All right.
Yeah, if just for your edification, found restaurant or tavern in the zoning code, just like hotels and motels, they're defined as the same thing, as a commercial use which sells prepared food or beverages, and where the seating and associated circulation areas exceed 10% of the gross floor area of the use. So there you have it. It's sort of anachronistic, but it's
well,
okay.
Didn't the language say bar and tavern, not restaurant and tavern?
No,
it said restaurant
or tavern.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think we use bar in the zoning code. I don't remember seeing that either. Thank you.
We just hope we don't have enough bars.
Dive.
All right.
I can't believe we're done with
City-initiated comp plan amendments.
We
are
really.
Brill. Yeah. Welcome.
It'll be back.
Something tells me. Right? Something tells me it might be way always.
Here we are, all alone. Nobody cares anymore.
Okay, Joan.
She went to a tavern. She's gone.
She's out in the parking lot, cheering.
Sorry, the H drive isn't up here, so I've got to get it again. Sorry.
No worries.
Sorry about that.
I should have given her that bottle of wine, that extra bottle of wine.
Well, I should tell you guys, I forgot to mention this in the items from the comments. This appeared on my doorstep this afternoon. With the message, or it's old school delivery, and it's a little card from Elsie.
Hi,
Rick. Wow. Had a wonderful time at the party. The highlight was your singing, Unforgettable. I will cherish the memory forever. Oh, and the scotch was very nice, too. Thank you, Elsie.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
I'm sorry I missed that party.
Yeah, it was fun.
Good. The purpose of this tonight is for you to give final approval of the 2017 city-initiated comp plan amendments. And if you recall, back on September 25th, you gave unanimous recommendation along with the Planning Commission to adopt them. So that's what we're looking at. The city-initiated amendments included capital facilities plan annual updates. Those are those tables 5 through 10. Rezone of 4 park properties, all of which are outside of Houghton. Text amendments to the transportation element to address comments on the 2035 plan update from Puget Sound Regional Council. And then some minor non-policy related updates just to make the information current. And so just to reiterate about the capital facilities plan update, and the reason we do it is to bring it into consistency with the 2017 through 2022 capital improvement program and the mid-biennial budget. So there's some changes, you know, timing, funding, adding projects, deleting projects. And in your packet, I believe attachment 1 or 2, showed in red lines and under strikeout and underlines what had changed since you'd seen that. And you had expected that. We go through that every year, and they just don't have it all together until ordinance adoption, basically. And they do the budget updates, the study sessions. Okay, so we require it to show the cost and funding for these capital projects and et cetera, et cetera. And the project highlights are the purchase of land to expand McCullough Park, some different increases and expanded scope for Totem Lake Park roadway repair, and a new non-motorized improvement project along 120th Avenue Northeast in Totem Lake. So these are, of course, outside of Houghton. The park property, I have them shown up here in case you're interested. They're in your packet. That's a land swap on McAuliffe. And then the transportation element text, this was to meet the suggestions made by PSRC. We added a reassessment strategy in case there's a shortfall in funding, so that there would be a periodic review of the 20-year transportation plan. And also we incorporated some growing transit community strategies to identify transit station areas and establish the goals in the transportation element. Right now, there's some more text addressing this in especially Totem Lake neighborhood, but not throughout the plan. And it was emphasized through the PSRC process that review process that needs to be incorporated into the transportation element. So let's see. And then we had minor policy amendments to implementation strategies to incorporate the what we call the K4C, the King County Climate Change Collaborative, into the list of countywide organizations that we collaborate with. And we've, I guess, done that since 2012. So we're just codifying it, and then updating the community character table, because we had a couple new properties in Norkirk that now have historic designation, and there's some one other change, I think. I can't remember what it is right now. Your action would be to approve the resolution 2018-1, which adopts the ordinance that the City Council approved in December 12th, I believe. So that concludes my presentation.
Any questions? We have already had, we've looked at this. If not, would anyone care to make a motion to approve Resolution 2018-1 adopting Ordinance 4624, 2017 City-Initiated Comp Plan Amendments?
Just a reminder, I'm recusing myself because of my position on the Park Board and the park elements in this
okay.
plan.
Okay, then I would like to move that we do that.
All right. No, that's all right.
Okay.
You move that resolution. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Neil, second. Okay. Any further discussion? Discussion. All in favor of approving Resolution 2018-1, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And, recusing yourself. Kelly. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right, Jim.
We'll see you again next year.
Yeah.
Okay. On this one.
All right. Okay. So, Adam, work
All
right. plan.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Sorry about that. I was going to be lazy and sit down, but I couldn't get the clicker to work, so I'll stand. Happy to present the work program for the next couple of years. You all know the work program probably better than me, but you probably know it's developed on a yearly basis. It sets priorities for work on mostly our department's long-range planning, and so it really shapes the physical fabric of the city. And just 2 points before I get into the meat of the presentation. One is that we're really just looking for feedback on the content of the work program at this point. This will go back to City Council. And then I won't go into a lot of detail on each work plan item unless you guys want to talk about it or ask questions about any of the items. I'm happy to answer questions.
Would it be easier? Would it be easiest if as you go through work plan items, if we have a question on them, do you want us to ask you sequentially as we're going through?
Sure.
Would that be easier?
Yeah. Okay. Whatever works for all of you. Just a little bit of. Just a little bit of background. It's a three-year plan, a lot of focus on 2018. Our department has 5 senior planners, and we have 1 urban forester. So this work program was really designed to fully utilize all the staff in the long-range planning division. And I guess the key takeaway of that is that there isn't a ton of capacity for new projects beyond the ones listed. So if you have a recommendation for a new project, we should probably work on removing an existing project from the list. Totally fine to do that, but relatively limited capacity here. Betsy?
Well, I do have a question, and maybe it's because this is the more long-term things, but I don't see the Northwest University master plan on here.
Right. We're still waiting for an application on that.
Okay.
So I think once there is an application for that, it might not actually end up on the formal work program since this is really focused on long-range on long-range projects. But if a new master plan or a multi-phase planning effort is required for Northwest, it would get on the work program ultimately.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good question. There's a lot of work to be accomplished on the work program, as you can see, a lot of it is stemming from work that you've recently seen or the Planning Commission has recently seen. And so we found it useful when we were doing the work program to craft some objectives to create sort of a framework for the work program. So the key objectives are, 1, really keep pushing forward with the city's neighborhood plans, which should be updated, as you know, once between every 2 major comp plan updates. So every neighborhood plan should get updated once every 8 years. Second objective is really to continue to push the envelope on making our code more transparent and more useful to the community, and then also just more effective and efficient at getting to the end result of good planning and reduce burden on the business community. And then really the third objective was promoting state and regional planning objectives or initiatives, and then our own closely related environmental initiatives. So just as a refresher, over the last year, as you know, again, better than anybody else, there was a lot of work focused on the Your Neighborhood Plan and then also Finn Hill. But the work also covered a lot of other topical areas ranging from code amendments for the Totem Lake area to consideration of temporary sign regulations, which you also just heard. And I should note that some of the tasks that are listed on this slide here are ongoing and will require lots of work in 2018, but they're not really explicitly listed on the work program. So we have all this, this sort of backlog of work that needs to get integrated with the work program for the next couple of years. All right. So to get into this, and let me know if I'm going into too much detail for each of these, but I'll try to go pretty fast through them, unless you want me to skip over descriptions of each of the items entirely and just go to the questions at the end.
I think you can go pretty fast, because most of these are outside of Houghton and
Okay. I'll skip the ones that you won't touch at all.
Yeah.
How about? Yeah. And those are actually grayed out in the slide. So so this first bucket of work plan items, as I mentioned, are the neighborhood plans, design guidelines, code amendments stemming from the neighborhood plans. So to kick off the group, we'll be developing a neighborhood plan framework, which really will use best practices and lessons learned from our past neighborhood planning experience. And the goal here is really to, I see some smirking, but that's our objective. So the goal is really to help streamline development of these plans while still allowing for good public input. And it's a hard task, but if we can get some sort of discipline in the schedule while allowing for some meaningful public input, perhaps we can try to get through these plans a little more efficiently. So the framework then will pave the way for the three new neighborhood plans for this year, which are next on the list of updates. So that's North and South Rose Hill plus Bridal Trails. And Bridal Trails is under your jurisdiction, so you'll be working on that plan. And then as part of that, we'll also be tackling the Northeast 85th Street corridor. And then in case you're wondering what's next on the list, in 2019 we'll be tackling the downtown neighborhoods. So Moss Bay Market, Newkirk, and then I think also Highlands is on that list as well for 2019. All right. Second bucket involves making our development regulations better. Trees, obviously a pretty prominent issue in Kirkland. And one problem that's been flagged in the community is that we have this phased development process that allows for trees to be removed at different stages of the development process. Some trees can get removed at the grading permit level. Other trees can get removed at the building permit stage. And so the comments that we've gotten from the community circle a lot around the fact that people don't have a good holistic sense of the number of trees that are getting removed from an individual development project. And that makes it difficult to consider tree preservation and removal across the project. So this task right here, this first task, is evaluating whether our integrated development review process, under which all phases of a project are reviewed at the same time, should be applied to more projects in order to more effectively take trees into account. Second item, floor area ratios. And this item will actually get expanded to look at lot coverage regulations as well. This was actually suggested by one of our planning commissioners, just in recognition that there might be better ways at calculating floor area ratio and then also getting to a good development outcome. Floor area ratio, right, which is just the square footage of a building divided by the square footage of the lot, is a pretty crude way of regulating design and massing of buildings. So there's a possibility of getting that better.
Which is why we don't have it in Houghton.
Exactly. That's right. That's right.
Can you clarify that for me, Rick? What do we not have?
FAR. We did not approve the FAR regulations when the city adopted them.
Okay. So can I ask a question about lot coverage?
Of course, yeah.
What would you say the planning department's, what does it see its main interest served by lot coverage? Is it livability, or is it stormwater management? Is it both? Is one being used as a surrogate for the other? And can you characterize that for me?
Yeah, really good question. Actually, we were just talking about that today internally. I think they were, based on my knowledge, they're driven by stormwater regulations and the desire to not have a lot of pervious and impenetrable surfaces on a project site. I think it's been used, as you said, as they've been used typically as a surrogate to limit development, right? The smaller lot, the lower the lot coverage threshold, the smaller the building needs to be, generally speaking, at least on the ground level. And again, it's a really crude method to regulate building design. So I think that's something that we'll be looking at when we relook at the floor area ratio regulations as well.
Can I make a comment about that? Mm-hmm. Has the city recently looked at synthetic turf and the permeability of synthetic turf?
I believe so. I don't know much about it. The only thing I've heard about synthetic turf is regarding its application at the new Peter Kirk Park redevelopment, mm-hmm. which is, you know, in the sort of very early preliminary conceptual stages right now. To my knowledge, there is a way to, there are products out there that allow for installation of artificial turf while allowing for water percolation as well, but it's not something I know a lot about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I did, I discovered this recently, and this is for residential use of synthetic turf, that the King County permeability calculation is different than the city of Kirkland's permeability calculation for reasons that are not going to be clear to very many residents who are doing improvements on their property. It's going to be difficult for them to understand why King County sees it differently than the city of Kirkland as far as how permeable the modern, the latest synthetic turf products are. So I don't know if that's something that should be, anyway.
Yeah, I can bring it up with our internal staff. I don't know if it's actually part of this work program item, but it's a good point. Yeah, we're better than the county, that's why.
Well, and I think there, possibly. I think there are a lot of, there are pros and cons to synthetic turf, mm-hmm. but I think there are a growing number of mm-hmm. homeowners who consider, watering a non-edible,
landscaping
as a waste of water resources. And it's maybe not as big a concern in the state of Washington, but I think there are going to be a growing number of landowners who are going to say, why do I keep pouring water on this product that I cut? And so because of that, it would be good to maybe for the city to take a closer look at the latest products and the latest what calculations have been used, and maybe explore why King County sees it differently than Kirkland.
Okay, I'll bring it up at our stormwater meeting next week. All right, PUDs, planned unit developments. So right now the code allows PUDs to be proposed with public benefits, but it doesn't really give great guidance on the nature of these benefits. So it's hard for decision makers to ascertain whether a PUD is justified in light of the public benefits that are being offered, like open space or a new sidewalk. So we'll be working on ascertaining whether providing additional direction for whether public benefits are sufficient.
Please.
Yeah.
So this is another one I flagged because the language right now is identified benefits to the residents of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, can a developer of a PUD look anywhere in the city for an improvement and propose it, or does it have to be a center or
like there needs to be like a nexus between the project.
Thank you. A nexus between the project and particularly so with a PUD there's some negative impact
mm-hmm.
that's being proposed and this mm-hmm. is supposed to offset it. Mm-hmm. Right now, I assume there's no nexus in the process. There's no nexus required.
So sort of two questions. One is, does it need to be on-site or off-site or nearby? To my knowledge, there's no restriction. It could be off-site at a distance from the project. And the lack of nexus is an interesting issue in that, typically the PUD process allows the city and the code language allows for this to ask for something that goes beyond the impact of the project. And that's been really the benefit of PUDs to the city. It's not just a standard development project coming through where the city can only ask for mitigation for the project's impact. So we are allowed to go sort of beyond that level based on the language in the code that allows for public benefits to be offered. So a lot of cities use PUDs a lot more extensively than we do to get more out of developers.
Yeah. I could see constituents when faced with a PUD wanting to have the actual impacts be mitigated
locally
mm-hmm. nearby at
yeah.
that property.
Yeah.
Neighbors of ours in Houghton. Others may feel differently. They may feel if there's like this grand benefit somewhere else in Kirkland, it offsets whatever impact it's having locally. But I can see some of our constituents coming and saying, why isn't there this nexus requirement?
Not in my backyard effect.
Yeah, it's probably, and it may turn somewhat on how close this PUD is to their, to where they live and spend their time and whatnot.
Yeah, so that's a good comment. And I mean, that could be part of the sort of framework that we design to give more direction to what public benefits are. We can provide a recommendation on whether they should be limited to the neighborhood where the project is or could be allowed under certain circumstances to extend outside of the neighborhood boundaries. So good comment. All right, any more questions about PUDs? All right, historic structure delisting. This simply stems from a request from an owner of a historic residence. I believe it's actually in downtown, it might be in Newark, to delist her structure, which is currently listed on the local register. So our code doesn't currently establish procedures for delisting a historic resource, so this task involves really ascertaining whether a delisting process is warranted in the first place, and then if so, what would the criteria be for delisting? And we want to make sure that if we pursue such a process, it's really protective of preserving the historic resources that make our community what it is, but also providing some flexibility for owners of historic properties. So that's that task. Miscellaneous code amendments, that's just a catch-all for small and medium-sized code amendments that are expected to generate relatively low levels of discussion. So things like revising lot coverage requirements to make them consistent with stormwater regulations. Maybe we could throw in something about turf if that's actually written into our code, artificial turf. And then clarifying allowable height of rooftop features. Things like that will get lumped into the miscellaneous code amendments. Zoning code reformatting. This task is just a continuation of work to convert our use zone tables in the zoning code to charts, which is really just about enhancing the usability, the navigability of the code. Skip Kingsgate Park and Ride, and then the school sites project is an interesting one, which will look at the potential for school sites in town to be developed with either taller buildings to more efficiently use school sites. The school district, as you know, is growing by leaps and bounds. They need more space. There's not a lot of space to build a new school here, so there might be the need to make better use of existing school facilities. And then another component of this project is possibly looking at whether housing for school staff could be accommodated on school sites. As you know, teachers and other school staff are finding it really, really hard to find affordable housing here in town. So there's interest on the part of the school district in, as part of looking at possibly taller buildings on school sites, to possibly look at integrating housing onto those school sites. Wow. While still allowing for schools to operate with playing fields and so forth. We've heard a lot of school teachers might not want to live by their schools, but
yeah.
It kind of reminds me of the dormitories at the factories in China.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, there's lots of different ways of looking of exploring it. You know, possibly one school site could be developed with housing for teachers and other school staff from other schools, so they wouldn't actually have to live at their school. But a primary component is really just looking at the question of whether the school district can better utilize their existing facilities to accommodate more students.
And Adam, the school board's already out ahead of, they're taking the lead on this. Is something they're interested in exploring?
They're working with us. They're not necessarily taking the lead, but we're working closely with them. Yeah.
They've expressed their interest.
Yep, they have. They have.
Just pay them more.
All right. So third, this is the last. Oh, yeah, sorry.
Just one thing. I'm going to go back to number five.
Uh-huh.
No. Number five, miscellaneous code. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm just seeing a little red flag here called allow building height to be measured from finished grade for large subdivisions.
Mm-hmm.
Finished grade is often, I mean, it seems like you don't always know what finished grade is going to be, and it can often get much higher than what the original grade was, and it seems like you could end up with some really tall, big things, and so I think that's part of the danger. I mean, the way we're doing it now is so complicated. But it seems like it seems to me that takes a lot of the predictability out of how big something is going to be if people don't know until, hey, you said it could be 30 feet above finished grade, and finished grade all of a sudden went up 10 feet.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a good point. I think there should be certainty, right? We get plans that will show finished grade and then the height of the building above finished grade. So that will be part, if this ends up going through the process, and if there's support for it, we'll require plans from developers.
Well, that might give greater predictability as long as the developer actually sticks to that.
Yeah, and we inspect projects to make sure that happens. I think what from what I've heard is happening. Projects are being required to stick to their existing grade, so their building height is being measured from the existing grade, and sometimes, especially on larger development sites, dirt is getting moved all over the place around the site, and so houses are having to get sort of, to build houses on a site like that, developers are having to build holes and then stick the house, each house in a hole, so that it starts at the existing grade. So it's based on my conversations with some of the other planners, some of the developments that have been built in recent years have sort of looked a little bit eccentric because the height has been measured from the existing grade. Mm. So this is an attempt to remedy that. And again, we would have certainty by getting plans from developers, and then we would inspect when the project is actually built. But it's a good point. It would, in some cases, it could effectively, if you're looking at a project from an offsite location, the houses could be perceived as being taller if they're built onto the finished grade instead of the existing grade.
Let's say you're a developer with a location that if the grade was a little higher, then all your houses would be view properties, and all of a sudden they would be worth a whole lot more.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
So since Betsy opened up the, I was going to go back to number five too, but then I was going to move on. But since you reopened number five, I wanted to go back. But no, that's a really good point. Presumably as part of this examination, it's going to be ensured that a developer can't game the system by building up the grade before they then determine the height of the building. There's other restrictions in place that prevent them from being able to artificially build up the grade.
Right.
Is that true under the city?
Yeah, I mean,
city requirements.
Yeah, geotechnical hazards would be one issue. I mean, it's hard to imagine that a developer could just create a little hill in the middle of a project to provide views. Not to say it couldn't be done, but you're right. Neil is right. There are existing constraints in the code too.
But there's slopes that could be filled in, and you could have something that, would have been a lovely terraced housing division that all of a sudden, you refinish the grade and everything's up here. Yeah. And all of a sudden it's a monolithic instead of a lovely.
Yeah. I'll make a note to discuss that with Angela. we definitely want to we want to make sure that developers aren't gaming the system to extract more price for their houses.
Yeah, I could definitely see where our neighbors would not want there to be loopholes that allow developers to do something. So I also, there's a couple other things on here I flagged just as ask Adam.
Go for it.
In number five.
Yeah.
When I was reading the materials. Mm-hmm. So the first one was actually regarding revised lot coverage, and you actually have already answered a lot of my questions about that, and apparently also FARs don't apply in Houghton, so I learned something today. But also, clarify when right-of-way improvements are permitted to be developed within easements. So this is the city's right-of-way. So a landowner is making improvements within a right-of-way belonging to the city.
This is, I think.
Maybe I should just let you explain what this is, because I'm not sure I understand.
Yeah, I'll do my best. But my understanding is that it's an area where the city holds an easement, and it's simply that the code right now isn't clear on whether the city can develop rights of way improvements in those easements. We do it routinely. It's just not something that's explicitly allowed in the code. That's my understanding of the issue. I haven't been involved in a project where that was an issue, but I think it's just clarifying something that's been happening for years.
Okay, yeah. That seems to make sense. And then reviewing rules stipulating the number of unrelated people comprising a family consistent with state and federal law?
Yeah.
What is the state and federal law?
So there are fair housing laws, and there's case law out there that dictates what can be considered a family.
Mm-hmm. And our city code is not consistent with that.
We think it is
okay, but that would be nice to bring that up.
We'd like to be consistent with federal
21st
law.
Century standards,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It may not be well received. Let me just caution you.
Yes, we'll do only what's required.
I'll take my lead from the Supreme Court of the United States.
We'll do only what's required of the law.
I think I just took an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States, and the Supreme Court of the United States is the final interpreter of that. So,
all right.
Yep. Sorry.
Okay. No problem. Any more questions about the code amendments? Okay. Great. So this is the last bucket. This is really promoting state, regional planning initiatives, and then our own environmental initiatives. So Kelly mentioned the housing strategy group that's been meeting since March 2017, and this is just bringing forward their recommendations to support housing choice, housing diversity, affordability. You know that Kirkland's part of the King County Cities Climate Coalition, and is part of this program, and really to further our own carbon reduction policies, this task involves preparation of a report that identifies our both municipal, so city government-wide, and community-wide carbon emissions, so we can better understand trends in Kirkland related to carbon emissions. And then sort of related to carbon is the tree canopy assessment, and this is really an 8-year recurring task in which we take a close look at our tree canopy to get a better sense of to what extent the tree canopy is meeting our city goals for tree canopies. We have a 40% tree canopy goal in the city, so we like to know whether we're actually achieving that or whether we're surpassing it. And then we also, in doing the tree canopy assessment, can get a better sense of the overall health of the tree canopy, how it's changed in the last several years, and what we can do better about maintaining the urban forest.
Adam, I have a question about trees.
Yeah.
This is germane only in the sense that it uses the word trees. It has nothing whatsoever to do
but
with
no profanity.
It has nothing whatsoever to do
is
with
this
canopies.
A Stanford thing?
No, I had a question about right. I had a question about a sidewalk, trees, tree roots, mm-hmm. and our sidewalks. So, mm-hmm. like in our Houghton area, there are lots of sidewalks that are being buckled by tree roots. Mm. And I guess I'm just curious: do we have in the city of Kirkland? Do we have means of regulating what trees get planted to avoid city maintain sidewalks from being buckled? And it's not even about the cost of the city. It's about our residents, mm-hmm. especially those who have disabilities, actually making their way along these buckled sidewalks. And then I see city employees out grinding them down to make them somewhat accessible.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of effort, a lot of work, and maybe just not a lot of thought has gone in the decades and decades ago. Not a lot of thought went into that. Is more thought going into that now? And
yeah, we do have a. It's a good question because it's an issue everywhere, and the problem is that tree roots grow. They sort of upset the sidewalk, and then there's not a huge desire to remove the tree because it's a really nice tree and it's providing shade for the street. So it's a difficult issue at that point. So our city arborist and our forestry division does actually have a list of trees that are allowed for street plantings. And my understanding is that it has gotten better over the years, and it's been refined to not necessarily prevent tree root incursion, but to make it less of a problem. So we do actually review trees that are being planted in rights of way, and actually all around the city, to try to prevent that from happening. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yep. Okay, to bring up trees again, the King Conservation District Stormwater Modeling Project, this is actually looking at the ability of trees to treat stormwater. And so depending on the results, this project is one that could really help us establish new, lower cost, more aesthetically pleasing and ecologically sound measures for treating stormwater. So King Conservation District is really taking the lead on this, but we're providing quite a few staff inputs and empirical data from the city itself. Shoreline Master Program periodic update. This is just a routine update of our Shoreline Master Program, really ensuring consistency between the Shoreline Master Program and our zoning code. Critical areas regulations, we updated those back in 2016 to incorporate best available science and best practices, and so this task just involves correcting issues that we've seen since the last update. One of our planners has this running list of things that just need to be fixed, so we'll be integrating those. And then downtown urban growth designation, I don't think it's necessarily something that the Houghton Community Council will touch, but just so you know, it's relates to a current project from by the Puget Sound Regional Council, and PSRC is looking at establishing different tiers of growth centers, including these urban growth centers, which have high densities of jobs and transit and housing, and allow for significant growth. And so this task is really about looking at whether downtown could be an urban growth center, which would allow us to both accommodate growth and also attract additional funds for transportation improvements. All right, two more. Sustainability Master Plan. Sustainability is really an overarching theme at the city. many of our policy documents integrate sustainability concepts, but there's sometimes not as much coordination as we want between the sustainability elements of different plans and also different departments, meaning that there might be some redundancy in our environmental efforts. And so a sustainability master plan would help better coordinate our various sustainability efforts in the city. And then last but not least, this is something that we just saw. It's just the annual task of updating the capital facilities project tables and the comp plan to reflect, you know, changes to funding, timing, and projects that have occurred since the 2017 update. So hopefully that wasn't too painful. That was sort of a quick rundown of all of our work plan items. Happy to get comments from you however you want to give them to us. We listed these three questions in case they might help you guide the discussion, but whatever comments you have, we're happy to hear.
Anybody have any questions, comments that haven't already been raised?
I guess I just want to say that I'm excited about the environmental projects that you're taking on, and I like the idea of things starting to work together.
Great.
Yeah, me too.
Great.
Anything in this that you feel should be deprioritized or enhanced prioritization other than the environmental?
All right.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Adam.
All right. And I'm guessing that there are no further administrative reports, right?
Correct.
Okay. Well, then, for the first regular meeting of the Houghton Community Council for 2018, I hereby declare it adjourned.